Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and it is such a blessing to be with you again at this broadcast. We are going to have a wonderful time as I bring a special guest to the broadcast today. And I pray that you come with listening ears. I pray that you will share this with someone and tune in with attentiveness, that you can hear my guest breathe out what is so passionate in his heart to do. So, as we move into this broadcast, I am so excited with who I have as a guest on the broadcast today. And I tell you, he is a brother of passion. Not only is he a brother, but he is a father. He is a husband. He is a pastor. He is a man of God. But also, he is a substitute teacher in one of the school districts in our city here in Houston, Texas. And not only that, he is a friend. And I am going to let him touch on these areas of his life that I just mentioned. But I pray that you continue to faithfully be with this broadcast and share this broadcast with others. So we are going to get right to the program. So as I introduce Brother Jones, and before he speaks, I would like for you, the listeners tonight, to keep in mind that if you are in a spiritual place in your life and you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Or is that something you're still working on? Think about it this way. If you were to die today and God asked you, why should he let you in? What would you say? Well, Pastor Gerald Jones will introduce you to the answers to those questions today. So let's hear from Pastor Jones concerning a wise witness. So, Pastor Jones, I am so grateful to have you on the broadcast today. And I would love for you to just to introduce yourself to the listeners today and let the listeners know a little bit about yourself and your passion in doing God's will and when you decided to become born again.
Well, I want to say, first of all, I'm grateful to be on the program and to tell a little bit about who I am. Again, as you said, my name is Gerald Jones, and I am a pastor of Family Fellowship Community Baptist Church. We are in the location that we are now on the north side of Houston at 2202 Aldine Bender for about a year and a half now. I've been pastoring for 13 years. We're moving into our 14th year as of November the 25th. Been married for 34 years, going on our 35th year, Gwen and I. We have three grown children. My oldest daughter is 34. I have a 31-year-old son and a 28-year-old daughter. And God has blessed us. We have six grandchildren, actually seven, because I count the one that's on the way next month. And so family is very important to me, as you hear the name of our church. But in addition to that, God blessed me to be able to retire from the United States Air Force after 30-something years of service. That bivocational experience of preaching, pastoring, and being in the military is a unique opportunity that I can say only God did that for me. I became a Christian in 1974. I went straight from high school into the Air Force, and in that first year, my mother contracted cancer, and during the time I was stationed in Arkansas, the military afforded me the opportunity to come home on an emergency leave. And while at home on that leave, I was reintroduced to Jesus Christ. I grew up in the Catholic Church, so I knew about God. I went to church most all of my childhood years, but going to church and not knowing Christ was a lot. Did not know him as my personal Savior. I knew him as Jesus. I knew God, and I went to church. But during that time when my mother was dying with terminal cancer and on that emergency leave that I was brought back to Houston, Texas, my mother was in St. Joseph Hospital, and I went to see her in the late night, and it was in March of 1975. And when I went to see my mother at the hospital, she was in such pain. I mean, so me, a nun, and a nurse, we took hands and started praying for my mother. And for the first time, I realized that prayer had power. I mean, I realized that God could hear and he could answer our prayer. And as we prayed, my mother calmed down. The hypos and all the pain pills they had given her didn't really calm her down. But when we got through praying, she was resting. And I went down to the end of the hall, and on the hospital step is where I had a card that they had given me when I went in the Air Force, and it said, "Give Christ charge of your life." And I really hadn't really read that card till that morning on that step. And as I was reading that card, it said that God loved me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's something about reading that word, God's word, at that moment, it let me know that God really did love me. The next verse said that, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that there is none righteous, no, not one." And that let me know that I was loved by God, but that I was a sinner. And then the next verse said that, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." And the last verse said, "You can pray and receive Christ as your Savior right now. And that if thou should confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, it said thou shall be saved." And what I can tell you, Sister Smith, is that I bowed my head in the humblest way with all the religion that I had. I bowed my head and I prayed for the first time really sincere. And I said, "God, don't give me peace. I tried a little bit of marijuana." I said, "Drinking doesn't satisfy." I did drink. And I said, "Running around," and it just wasn't for me. And so I said, "Lord, if you would save me, I'll serve you the rest of my life." And I can remember it just as vivid as I'm saying it right now. An overwhelming peace. I said, not for my mama, not for my daddy, not for even the church that I went to, but because I know I need Jesus in my life. And it was at that moment, Sister Smith, that I could feel the peace of God come over me. And even though my mom was in that hospital dying with terminal cancer, I realized that everything was going to be all right. And so that's how I became a Christian. The next day I went to Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church. My biological father and my stepmother were members there. And I went to talk to Pastor Charles Jackson. And when I went to his office and began to talk to him, he acted as though somebody he already knew. He conveyed to me in that office, he said, "I've been waiting for you." And I said, "Waiting for me? You don't really know me." He said, "Well, I'm always waiting for somebody to come and share their heart and their situation." He said, "Why are you here today?" And I told him, I said, "Well, my mom is dying with cancer. My stepmother and my father said that I should come and talk with you and have you to pray with me." And he then reiterated the importance of prayer, but then he said, "Have you accepted Christ as your Savior?" And I admitted right there, I said, "Yeah, Pastor, I just did that last night on that hospital step." And to just kind of move forward, it really, my life began right there. I left, and he said, "You'll be back." I said, "Yes, sir, but I'm stationed in Arkansas, and I don't think I'll be back real soon." He said, "God's going to make a way." And 1 month from the day that man said that in his office, I had been humanitarianly reassigned from Arkansas to Ellington Field, and I was in Houston till my mother passed away. And in that next, it was by like 3 or 4 more months. So that started my pilgrimage as a Christian. Sometimes afterward, in September, I started preaching. And as it would have it, the military relocated me a year later. And I finished my first 4 years in the military in Arizona. After that, I went to Bible college in Arizona, to Southwestern Baptist Bible College for 2 years, met my wife, and we moved back to Houston in 80, and we've been here ever since.
Amen. Well, I tell you, that just listening to your life's experiences or has brought you through a journey that ultimately led you to Jesus Christ in the way that you needed relationship with him. And it just seems like the steps were being laid down for you in such a unusual way, but so God, you know, to have led you to Christ in the way that he did.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. I never will forget once my mother passed, and I had joined Pleasant Grove, and put myself under the leadership of Pastor Jackson and the ministry of Pleasant Grove Church. I never will forget that it was a group of men. They used to call themselves the Fisherman's Band, and what they would do on a Friday night, they would fast all day on Friday, and then on Friday night we would go out and witness. We would witness on Friday night, we would witness on Saturday, and then on Sunday morning we would have a breakfast and a prayer meeting, and then we would go and get all of those people that we had witnessed to. So my orientation into Christian life was about soul winning. So I have this passion to see people saved. And from that moment, and even just talking about this and wanting to be on and being on your show have encouraged me again to be a witness, not just to witness, but to allow the Holy Spirit to be the witness through me. When I looked up the word wise, he said the theme is going to be a wise witness. When I looked up the word wise, it means somebody that uses discernment and good judgment. And basically, God is the one that makes us wise. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 11 and the 30th verse, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So, I mean, I'm excited that God has me where I'm at right now, and talking about witnessing. And again, I feel like he wants us to become bold witnesses in these last evil days. I believe it's time for the whole, for us to let go and let God. But and I know that's kind of a cliche, but really let God be the witness through us to other people. And I don't take any claim to being a great soul winner or anything, but I know the importance of witnessing. I know that the reason why we don't witness or we don't share our faith is either we're not saved, we're not spirit-filled, or we haven't been properly trained or put in the environment to do that. Do you kind of agree with that, Sister Smith?
Amen. Yes, I do. I do, exactly. And I understand completely where you're coming from concerning your passion. And so that brings me to my next question. Pastor Jones, I'm going to ask you this.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so since you've kind of alluded to where we're going with this broadcast, which is wonderful, and you've kind of given us a thumbnail sketch of where God placed you, brought you, and has positioned you in this due season of your life. And your passion is soul winning.
Yes.
So the question is, give us a preview or picture of a wise witness and why it's a need for us to tune in each broadcast concerning a wise witness.
Well, one of the reasons is that unbelievers, people who do not know Christ, maybe we're living in a culture and a day and time when people are more involved in going to church or some religious place and thinking that is what saved them. And so there are unbelievers that really need to be turned on or to be made clear about what being a Christian is or being saved is all about. So we really want to make sure that we understand the importance of being saved and somebody understand the importance of those that are saved leading somebody else to Christ to become a Christian, to be saved, and to be a believer. When I think about the scriptures and think about what Jesus said, he said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. So there are people who are lost needing to be saved, and we who have been enlightened and turned on by God, we ought to be reaching out for lost souls and for lost people, people that are in darkness that need to come to the light. When you look in the Word of God, you see that when the church began, and we can go further back than the church, we can go all the way back to the very beginning when God, in the Old Testament, was bringing people to himself. But we can also look in the New Testament where on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down and filled the believers, the first thing they did is they became what? Witnesses. It's what Jesus promised. He said, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world." Once the Holy Spirit has come upon the believer. So if we have been brought from darkness to light, from death to life, then we are now alive to be a witness. So it is important for us to witness. That's one of the things that I'm going to share. I'm going to talk about the importance and how important it is for us to witness. And I'm going to talk about what to be able to talk about this. It's not because of a degree that I have. It's not because, I've been in a monastery or somewhere. It's because of Christ who lives in me, coming out of me, getting a hold to somebody else. So I'm going to talk about what qualifies me to be a witness. I want to talk about our approach to people who are lost, or people who are living a lifestyle that is contrary to being a witness. We have to approach people, but we can't really approach people in a way that will turn them away from us. But yet and still, we can't play the political game with them, and just be politically correct, don't want to offend somebody. We're going to have to tell the truth. So I'm going to talk about our approach, the way we approach people. And when you study in the scripture, you see how Jesus approached many people. And after the resurrection of Christ, and Paul and Peter and all of the disciples, Stephen and Philip, when we watch those people and how they shared with you, they have different approaches. So I want to talk about the approach that a witness has, a wise witness. And then, after we lead people to Christ, I would hope that we wouldn't just say, "I got another one," just put another notch on our belt that we have won somebody to Christ. I would pray that we would look at following up with people and seeing how can we effectively follow up with the people that we lead to Christ, and not just say, "Well, I want somebody to Christ." Where they live? Did they get in a church? What can we do to continue to disciple them? And, because that is so important, that people not only just become a Christian, but they become disciples of Christ. And so I want to talk about that. Somewhere in this next 7 weeks of study, I would like to really share salvation, how to share the plan of salvation. When I was working with those fishermen, those men that went out to witness, we were all taught the Romans role. The book of Romans, you can take and use those scriptures, or let the scriptures speak to people and let them know that, there's none righteous, no, not one, that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that we can share scriptures like, "But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While I was, as they used to say, hooking and crooking, while I was doing my thing, while I was going away from all of the values and the teachings that I learned even in the Catholic Church about God, and going left, how God's word in the book of Romans can bring a person back in. and actually lead them to Christ, the Word itself. I believe so much that the Word of God is the agent to win people, not my charisma or my ability, but it's God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit using it. And I want to share the Romans role. I want to share, you know, when I first got saved and I left Houston and I went to Arizona, I got with a group, Campus Crusade for Christ, and they approached, and their way of witnessing was a little different from the way I had learned on the streets of Fifth Ward and Third Ward and from Pleasant Grove. But their approach still, they used scriptures, and so they used the four spiritual laws, and we used that to witness. I want to share those, you know, those things when we start talking about how to witness and how to lead somebody to Christ, how to invite somebody to accept Jesus. And lastly, you know, I'm going to talk about greatly teach people to do the same thing. if somebody comes to Christ, and they've been saved, it's our responsibility to multiply and to duplicate and have them to then lead somebody else to Christ. Now is the time.
Amen. And that it is. So that it is. And we see so much happening in these closing days of grace that we definitely need to be on the move, and that's moving forward, you know, as a witness. Pastor Jones, I've been making note of all that you've been indicating concerning a wise witness broadcast. So what can the listeners expect from the broadcast, a wise witness? Now, what can they expect to receive from this broadcast?
My prayer will be that they will have a motivation, an up-to-date technique that they will see the Holy Spirit using them to witness to their family, their friends, coworkers, that after listening and going through these weeks of a wise witness, that they will become very sensitive to people around them, that they can let God use them to witness to and see people saved, see people's lives transformed. The truth of God's word goes from lip to life change, you know, from just talking it to actually walking it. And I know that that is so critical for us in this climate, in this culture, this worldview today, you know. I think that we have to be real clear. For example, you know, just today, I was talking to a 17-year-old young man. He's in church. He's working. He's a junior. He's thinking about going forward in basketball, and he wants to maybe even join the military. You know, that always encouraged me because I know it was a tool God used and to help me at a young age. But he said something when I started telling him about being careful about premarital sex and possibly having a baby, having a young lady pregnant before he gets married. And he kind of laughed, and then he said, "Well, you know, we could always abort." And I mean, he said it so fast, and he said it so determined, like it wasn't nothing to it. It was just like, you know, drinking another can of beer or just spilling a glass, and that was it, you know. And it shook me, because it let me know how he didn't think anything was wrong with it. He didn't think that that the baby or the embryo, the unborn, was a life, and that if it was aborted, it would just be organs out the body. And I know a lot of people believe that, but I had to explain to him that life doesn't begin after the baby leaves the womb. Life begins when we know there's a baby in the womb.
Amen.
He never thought about it. He never thought. So witnessing to him changed. You know, I then had to realize that I had to talk to him in another way to just get him to understand. And I think when I told him, I said, "Well, your parents didn't abort you. Thought about it." See, he never thought about that he could have been aborted. All he thought about is if it happened between him and a girl, that he would abort the baby, or he would make that decision for her.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it is so common practice in the way society thinks in that respect. And there's been long debates concerning this abortion thing and when life starts and when life ends, according to man. But I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that you indicated to him that life way before we even knew who we were, our own selves.
Yeah.
And so
he couldn't understand that concept. He really,
right.
He, you know, but I had to be sensitive not to just beat him down or to condemn him for his view, because in his mind there was nothing wrong with it. And that's the kind of things we are dealing with when we witness in the people. And we have to ask God to really give us the courage to say or maybe not to say something so that we can let the Lord convey to them. And I believe the word of God, again, will be the catalyst to a person's life.
Amen. And that is so true. And I think that comes from having a tender heart toward the individual and meeting them where they are and knowing how to listen to them, and then, of course, discerning, that's that wise in Proverbs 11:30, learning how to discern what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you at that time and at that moment with that individual, to where you can communicate love toward them. And of course, that's the word of God in that respect. So,
I think when we get to studying or being a wise witness, we will definitely study the life of Jesus and the way he witnessed. We will look at, you know, like stories like when he met the woman at the well. We will look at, you know, stories when he met Nicodemus. We'll look at that briefly so that we can see we could use the same techniques that he used to help people to see the light of day.
Amen.
No, Jesus, I really am excited because I've watched how Jesus always used a question that caused the person to discover what they needed to discover. It's in the it's his way, and I'm praying that that's the technique we will use, discovery questions, where the light comes on and a person says, aha, I see.
Yes, and that's and I so believe that, because lights came on in my life, and I'm sure they had with you, and a lot of things don't make sense in the beginning, but as we journey through, then I did realize that's what that means. Now I see where you're bringing me to, Lord. You know, it does make a difference.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Pastor Jones,
mm-hmm.
Are you ready? Are you ready to get started on your broadcast? And for you, for those that are listening, I want to just allow Pastor Jones to give us some bits and pieces and some detail, but some bits and pieces of a broadcast, a new broadcast that's going to be on Mission from the Heart Radio. And it's called A Wise Witness. And, of course, we alluded to that in the beginning and throughout the broadcast today, that he will be doing this broadcast called A Wise Witness with Pastor Jones, and teaching us the richness of being a wise witness and how important it is to develop and grow and mature in that particular area of our Christian life as a believer in Christ Jesus. And look at how Jesus Christ exemplified that for us. And as we take note and become more aware and of how much we have right in front of us, and I believe you made note of that, Brother Jones, as being a wise witness on the job or in our home or in our family. And it's so important for us to do this. Now, Brother Jones, what legacy do you want to have left when God calls you home? What would you want to have left here as a legacy?
I want to have left a legacy that here was a man that lived and really lived for Christ, that glorified God and enjoyed him every day. I want, if you talk about my youngest grandchild, I want my grandson to be able to say, my grandfather loved God and loved people. And because of his love for God, he loved to lead people to Christ. If I could leave that legacy of loving God and leading people to God, I think I will have fulfilled my purpose here on this earth.
Amen. That is so beautiful. And it's amazing that you say that, because our closing statement at the church I attend here in the city, Houston, we say this after every service. And we say it this way. We love and lead all people to life change in Christ. And we say that every close of the service, to love and lead all people to life change in Christ. And I tell you,
wow, that's great.
it really sunk in when I heard that statement, and then I repeat it, and then it just really lets me see how important it is for me to be a light or a witness to somebody. And I want to tell this little story. My son, my oldest son, had a very close friend who took his own life a week ago today. And he was in his 30s, early 30s, just he was be 30 actually this year, took his life. And of course, my son, being filled with the Spirit, so he's saved, but he was beating himself up because he felt like he could have been a better witness to him, to where it would not have led him to take his life, and so young. And they were like brothers, and so it really affected my son. And I said, well, Glenn, that's his name, I said, son, it should affect you to the degree that it would make you want to do better and do more, because there are those still left here that you can impact.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just thought that was so teachable moment. Although a life was lost or no longer here on earth, you still have work to do. And and I just told him that this is a picture of God allowing you to see something and mom telling you what you need to hear. There's more work for you to do. And I just thought that was such a teachable moment in his life, as a generation that coming up behind us.
Yes.
For him to see how important it is to be a wise witness, and to continue in the call. So, yes, I thought that was really, really good for that to have been something for him to see in such a sad time.
And basically, when we talk about, the life we live, one of my life verses, I have a few that I'm always going back to. But one in particular is in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, because I believe death is not the worst thing that can happen to an individual. To me, if someone dies without having made a commitment to Christ and asked Jesus Christ to come into their life and save them, then that's the worst thing. Unbelief, the sin of blasphemy, that would be the worst thing that could happen, that a person dies in unbelief. But one of my life verses says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Amen.
So if I live, I'm living for Christ. I'm letting Christ live his life through my life, which is really not my life, it's his life. And then for me to die is to be rewarded for the life I lived in him. Paul says, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We dare not forget to let people know that God loves them, he loved us so much that he left his throne in glory, came down, as we study the scripture, through 42 generations, and was born through the Virgin Mary, and lived 33 years on this earth, and died the vicarious death on the cross, and was buried, and then the greatest thing that ever happened, he rose again as he promised. And everything that the Bible teaches, from Genesis to Revelation, it all points to Jesus. And so we expect his second coming. We are living with great anticipation and expectation of his soon return. And if we can get that excited moment in our lives again, like when we first became a Christian, and the joy we had of seeing people come to Christ, just like we would be, just like the father that stood at the door when he saw his son, his wayward son, coming home. He had such joy in knowing. That's where we ought to have joy. The Bible says the angels in the presence of God rejoice over one that comes to Christ.
Amen. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That is something to be joyful about. And I tell you, it propels me to continue when that happens. And I get excited about it. I get excited when someone gives their life to Christ, and that is the excitement, the joy that we are to have. Just as the angel, when someone gives their life to Christ. And that's what this ministry is about, Mission from the Heart. That's the purpose. That's one of the purposes of this ministry, is that the word would go out and it would go forth, that it would be received, and that someone would give their life to Christ. And I tell you, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it is definitely an excitement to know that a wise witness is going to take off. It's going to take flight. And I'm really excited, Pastor Jones, to hear what God is going to use you to feed us as listeners, because this is an area, discipleship, witnessing, and going out and leading people to Jesus Christ. It is something that we may have a desire to do, but we cowered back from doing it. And this is something that we definitely have to get in the practice of doing at all costs, because we do not want anyone to perish. But as we know, they will.
Yeah, but I hope that the Holy Spirit will motivate and multiply the body of Christ after the lessons have gone forth, that we would be motivated and that we would see the multiplication. And the motivation is to actually get us to talking about Jesus. Not just talking, you know, I find myself having to say, wait a minute, I'm not just trying to get people to come to my church. You know, they can go to any Bible-believing, Christ-exalting church. But I want them to salvation take place in their life, that they will ask if they are saved, and they've been going in a carnal direction and living a life totally that is not an outward witness of the inward Christ, that after this lesson, we will all want to live a better life for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake.
Amen. Amen. That should be the hunger of us all. And we've got great work to do. We've got great work to do. And the work that is set before us, Pastor Jones, it's a joy. Never said it was going to be easy, but it's a joy.
It's a joy. And you know what, Sister Smith, I pray that once that we will actually somewhere in the broadcast or somewhere at the end, we will have people that will call or come and tell us, look, I started witnessing. I started back to witnessing. I went to some apartments, and or I went on my job, and a coworker was interested in knowing something, and I was able to be led by the Lord to share certain scriptures with them that I heard over the broadcast that led them to the place of saying, I want to be a Christian, and that I prayed with a person to be saved. You know, that would give me so much joy to know that after we are through, that somebody is actually leading people to Christ.
Absolutely. Well, we definitely can open the lines up after each broadcast, or as we're led by, as you're led by the Holy Spirit, to want to open up the lines for dialogue or for a share or for someone to want to come to know Christ and be prayed for. So absolutely.
Yeah.
This is going to be a wonderful way for us to learn how and for us to stand up and be a witness. And I tell you, as we come together as the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit will make this happen, and as you who are listening to the broadcast today, please gather around as we meet again on next Thursday with Pastor Jones, getting into the broadcast of our lessons, A Wise Witness. And this is something that everyone needs to hear, how to be a wise witness and allow the scriptures to just breathe on you as he teaches us how to be a wise witness in a world who rejects Jesus. They don't have time for him. They don't want to listen. They don't want to hear. But with the troubles that come and the way that the world is taking a pitfall, they need Jesus. We need Jesus so desperately. But I like what Luke 10:2 says, Brother Jones. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth us laborers into his harvest.
Yes.
And that's the call. That is the call. That's the prayer, and that's the call.
Well, I would love to pray as we, you know, I guess getting to a close, I would love to pray for that, that God would send forth laborers, and that the effort that the Holy Spirit give us to make through this broadcast would help someone to be a better witness, a wise witness. Because if you're not discerning and if you're not sensitive, then you're unwise.
Yes, take this opportunity right now and pray for someone who may not know him, Pastor Jones, in the pardoning of their sins. And lead them to extend the hand of Jesus Christ. So if you could do that, Pastor Jones, then and then we will pray. And that should bring us to the end of our broadcast. But I so enjoyed this that we could talk for days. But I'm just wanting to not close this. So if you could go ahead and pray for someone who may not know him.
Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to have these words that of our mouth and the meditation of our heart. I pray that if there's some listener that has been interested about this broadcast and perhaps their interest has brought them to the place of realization that they do not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would accept him. They know that he lived, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again, and that he's coming. And they accept the fact of his love for them and for his dying for them. And God, we pray that they would accept you as their Lord and Savior. And then, Lord, we pray that as they accept you as their Savior, they would be willing to grow in grace and in the knowledge of you, and that they would be willing to be taught and trained and allow the Holy Spirit to share their belief in you with others, those that are closest to them, their family, those that are somewhat to them. And, Lord, that you would bring those all to you through their words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you, well, this has been such a delight, and I'm really excited about next Thursday as we continue in this broadcast, A Wise Witness. And I'm so ready for you to just get started. And I encourage you who are listening to come ready and come hungry to want to know and have an area of your life to be trained and pruned and shaped and molded by this broadcast, A Wise Witness. And so, Pastor Jones, I really enjoyed you today as we walk through your journey and your passion, in addition to you giving us a thumbnail sketch of what you will be teaching us over the next couple of weeks.
Well, we're going to probably open up with, like I say, the importance of the witness, the significance of it, what it means to be the witness, a witness, a wise witness, and then we'll probably go into the book of Romans, as I said, and talk about the Romans road and other tools. I often use at the church the ABCs: admit, believe, and confess. That's what every human being has got to do before they leave planet Earth: admit, believe, and confess.
I like that. And that's simple. ABC: admit, believe, and confess.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the close of this broadcast. And I know that we will be hearing from Pastor Jones on next Thursday as he brings us this broadcast, A Wise Witness. And I just want to say thank you, Brother Jones, for allowing us to hear from you and allowing us to get to know your heart. And that's what is so important when we are trying to teach God's word in a way that shows love and breathes love and receives love. So I just want to encourage you again to share this broadcast with others. And you can visit this broadcast again 24/7 if you missed a part of the interview with Pastor Jones concerning A Wise Witness. Go back and just put the link in your browser, blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart, and that's heart, the number 2, heart, and MFTH, meaning mission from the heart. And it will bring you to the page of the link, and you click on this broadcast or this particular day, and you can revisit any of the broadcasts that we've had on Mission from the Heart. So again, always remember that the grass withers and the flowers faded away, but the word of God will remain forever. Thank you again for being so faithful to the broadcast, the program, Mission from the Heart, and thank you always, forever, for being faithful to our God. Good night.
Good night.